Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is now exactly 18 minutes past the hour of 9. Welcome to Radio Islam International. My name is Muhammad Baam. I'll be your host this morning until 10 a.m. inshallah. Joining us online we have is Marana Zahir Ahmed Raghi. Marana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you doing this morning, Marana?
Alhamdulillah, and yourself, Marana?
Alhamdulillah. Speaking to you is always good, Marana. Breath of fresh air.
Marana, we are coming to the completion of Suratul Kahf, the commentary of Suratul Kahf. We
inshallah.
See that, inshallah, that in our last few discussions we were mentioning about the story of Dhul Qarnayn, the three parts of the world that he went to. In one of our discussions we met, we were discussing about the emergence of Ya'juj and Ma'juj according to the Hadith. They are amongst the major signs of Qiyamah. We also did about leadership, that is blessings of a pious and justice ruler. Towards the end of times, the traits of leadership, misguidance, oppression and injustice. And Dhul Qarnayn, how Allah had given him power to do what he wants, and Allah wants to see that when you, Allah gives you power, that you are just. You should be good in this world. Righteous rulers do not only send criminals to punishment, but also remind his subjects of the rewards and punishments of the hereafter, as is mentioned in the Quran. And I see today, we should always also beware of corruption and greed, use our resources for our benefits. And we see that this is what Dhul Qarnayn did. And he even said that, وَتَرَكْنَا بَعْضُهُمْ يَوْمَ إِذِي يَمُوجُ فِي بَعْضِ وَنُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ فَجَمَعْنَاهُمْ جَمْعَةً, that on that day that is Qiyamah, we will leave the criminals, the Ya'juj and Ma'juj, to flood and mingle with each other because of the large numbers. And not long after, the trumpet will be blown. This is showing us the day of Qiyamah, the sound of the advent of Qiyamah, and we'll gather them all the creation for reckoning. After Allah mentions, وَعَرَضْنَا بَعْضُهُمْ يَوْمَ إِذِي يَمُوجُ وَعَرَضْنَا جَهَنَّمَ يَوْمَ إِذِي لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَرْضًا, that on that day, that is the day of Qiyamah, we will present Jahannam before the Kafirun. الَّذِينَ كَانَتْ أَعْيُنُهُمْ فِي غِطَاءٍ عَنْ ذِكْرِي وَكَانُوا لَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ السَّمْعَ, that the Kafirun are those whose eyes in the world were veiled from the remembrance of Allah, because of which they never thought of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they were unable to hear the truth and accept the truth. And I think we can continue.
Inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The ayah is number 99 to 101, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, which you have referred to right now, وَتَرَكْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ يَوْمَ إِذِي يَمُوجُ فِي بَعْضِ وَنُفِقَ فِي الصُّورِ, and on that day, we will leave them, meaning the Ya'juj and Ma'juj, surging over one another. And the horn shall be blown, then we shall gather them together, and on that day we will bring Jahannam fully exposed before the infidels, whose eyes were under a cover against my reminders, and they were not able to listen. This is the translation of ayah number 99, 100 and 101. Herein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word watarakna, and we left them on that day to come out wave upon wave, and the second blowing of the trumpet will occur, and then we will gather them together. The word tarakna, we left them, meaning we are going to allow them. Now the use of wave upon wave, watarakna ba'dhum yawma idhi yamuju fi ba'd, wave upon wave, is giving an imagery of a dam. It is referring to the way in which people will be pouring out on the day of Qiyamah. Some ulama interpret this to mean the day in which Gog and Magog will come out in waves upon waves. They will continue to come out as though their population does not come to an end. It gives an imagery of the huge number of this people, meaning Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Now why are these two things combined? The coming out of Ya'juj and Ma'juj and the blowing of the trumpet. On the one hand, there is the release of Gog and Magog into the world, who will come out wave upon wave. On the other hand, we have the commencement of the day of Qiyamah. Now the significance of this is that until the day of Qiyamah, you will not have seen any army the size of Ya'juj and Ma'juj before. The only other time one will witness such large numbers of people coming out is when the second blowing of the trumpet occurs. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also used the word ghita, a veil, a cover, something which blocks sunlight. Now usually the heart is mentioned in relation to one who does not engage in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, the heart is directly connected to the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this particular ayah, the eyes are mentioned instead of the heart, because in the surah, the signs that are being described and are alluded to by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those of the day of qiyamah. The signs of the day of judgment are not going to be heard. They are going to be seen by people. People will see these signs manifest, yet they still will not believe. Even before seeing these signs, they were given counsel in regards to the revelations, but they did not listen to the advice that was being given to them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the pronoun ba'duhum in the ayah, ba'duhum yawma idin yamuju fi ba'd, and on that day we will leave them, meaning Ya'juj and Ma'juj, surging over one another. It is obvious that it reverts back to Gog and Magog. Then as for their condition described in this ayah, surging over one another, it's the imagery that I want us to understand. It also obvious that this will be their state when the passage lies open for them, and they will be hastening their way from the hilly heights down to the ground. Commentators have suggested other probabilities as well. Then Allah uses the pronoun فَجَمَعْنَاهُمْ, then we shall gather them together. Goes back to the creation at large, meaning humans, jinn. The sense is that the entire creation of the human being and the jinn, who have been obligated with the percepts of Sharia, who have become mukallaf, shall be gathered together on the plains of Hashar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on further, أَفَحَسِبَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَن يَتَّخِذُوا عِبَادِي مِن دُونِي أَوْلِيَا. Do then the disbelievers deem it fit that they take my servants as patrons besides me? Surely we have prepared Jahannam as entertainment for disbelievers. Allah then says, Qul, say, shall we tell you about the greatest losers in respect of their deeds? Those are the ones whose effort in the worldly life has gone in vain while they think they are doing well. Those are the ones who disbelieve in the signs of their Lord and in the meeting with Him, so their deeds have gone waste and we shall not assign to them any weight. That is their punishment, the Jahannam, for they disbelieved and made my signs and my messengers a mockery. Then in the ayah number 108, Allah says, surely those who believed and did righteous deeds, theirs are the gardens of Firdaus as entertainment, where they will live forever and will not wish to move from there. If we recall back from the beginning of the surah, in the beginning of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave an introduction to the surah. Then He gave us a story. Subsequent to the story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a short sermon, as one may say. Then the second story, and then a sermon, third story, and a sermon, fourth story. And this is the concluding sermon that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. So Allah says that when you go to someone's house, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used the word here, nuzula. أَفَحَسِبَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَن يَتَّخِذُوا عِبَادِي مِن دُونِ أَوْلِيَا إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا جَهَنَّمَ لِلْكَافِرِينَ نُزُلًا. We have prepared Jahannam as entertainment for the disbelievers. Nuzula is the word. When you go to someone's home, and before they give you the meal, they give you some appetizers, some snacks, the initial hospitality, and when you receive it, you are anticipating better to come. So that's the literal meaning of the word nuzula. The initial snacks or water or juice that someone gives you when you go and visit them. So there is a bit of sarcasm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use here to imply that these guests, meaning the disbelievers, will be treated to an initial treat of hellfire. Sa'yuhum, an effort, could be material or religious, But the motive here is that they will be given this initial nuzul entertainment, which will be a curtain raiser towards the endless suffering in the fire of Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَحَسِبَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَيَتَّخِذُ عِبَادِي. Do then the disbelievers deem it fit that they take my servants as patrons besides me? There is an illusion here that as such it would mean, do these disbelieving people who have taken my servants instead of me as the objects of their worship and the dispensers of their matters and problems think that this makeshift arrangement made by them would bring them some benefit and they would enjoy it? This is a form of interrogative meant for negation or disapproval. In short, it means that such thinking is wrong, a mark of ignorance. The word Allah uses here, ibadi, my servants, used here means angels and the particular anbiya whom the people of the world worship, taking them as partners in pristine divinity of Allah, meaning Sayyidina Uzair alayhi salatu was salam, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu was salam, those who worship angels were some Arabs. As for those who describe partners to Allah, the Jews and the Christians both did it. The Jews did it in respect of Sayyidina Uzair alayhi salatu was salam. This was a small group of a Jewish community that lived in Medina. And the Christians in respect of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu was salam. Therefore meant by Alladina kafaru, those who disbelieved in this verse, are those very groups of disbelievers. Some commentators have even taken the word ibadi, my servants, at this place to mean shayateen. In this case it would mean Alladina kafaru, those who disbelieve would mean disbelievers who worshipped the jinn and the shayateen. Some other commentators have taken ibadi as my servants. And at this place, in the general sense of something created under mastery, which becomes inclusive of all false objects of worship, be it idols, be it fire worshipping, be it stars, be it the anbiya, be it angels, any form of shirk would be included in here. Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah alayhi has referred to this aspect in the summary of his tafsir in Bayan al-Quran while explaining servants here as subjects. However, the first explanation given above has been rated as more weightier by most of the mufassirin. Allah knows best. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also used the word awliya in the plural. This word is used in the Arabic language to carry several meanings. Here in this ayah, it means one who gets things done, one who resolves matters, one who fulfills needs, which is the particular attribute of the true object of worship. The purpose hereby is to take them as objects of worship. Imam Qurtubi has said that this situation is caused due to two things. The situation of associating partners with Allah. The one is the corruption of belief. And the second is hypocrisy. What it means here that a person whose very belief and faith is not correct, no matter how good he is in his deeds and how painstaking in his effort, he will find all this useless and wasted in the hereafter. Similarly, the deed of anyone who acts for the pleasure of the created by way of hypocrisy, that deed too will remain deprived of reward. It is in terms of this general sense that some revered Sahaba have declared even the Kharijites as the substantiation of this verse. Then there are some commentators who even regard some other people as who is being referred to in this ayah. In ayah number 5, Allah says it has been determined that what is meant at this place are those particular disbelievers who deny the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the coming of Qiyamah and Akhirah, meaning those who deny the concept of Qiyamah. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ وَلِقَائِهِ. Those are the ones who disbelieved in the signs of Allah and meeting Him. Therefore, Imam Qurtubi and many of the other commentators like Imam Mazhari and others prefer the view that here it really meant, at this place, are the particular disbelievers who deny Allah, who deny the last day, and who deny the reckoning of deeds. Apparently, even those people whose deeds were ruined by their corrupted beliefs and whose efforts had gone waste cannot remain unaffected by its general use. Now, these are some of the things that have been mentioned with regards to this ayat that we have just discussed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further goes on to say in ayah 109-110, قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادًا لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي لَنَفِدَ الْبَحْرُ قَبْلَ أَن تَنْفَدَ كَلِمَاتُ رَبِّي وَلَوْ جِئْنَا بِمِثْلِهِ مَدَدًا قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيَّ أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Allah says here that say, asking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, if the ocean were to be ink for the words of my Lord, and the ocean would have been consumed before the words of my Lord are exhausted, even though we were to bring another one like it in addition. Meaning that one is unable to describe the power and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if you bring all the creation, you know, Maulana Tariq Jamil describes this so beautifully, that if you bring all the men that were created from the beginning of creation right up till Qiyamah, then you bring all the jinn and the shayateen, and then you bring all the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, and then you bring all the major Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, and then you even bring Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and all of them are given pens made by all the trees in the world, and the ink of the water of the ocean is turned into ink, and they are asked to write about Allah. Allah says, if the ocean were to be ink for the words of my Lord, the ocean would be consumed before the words of my Lord are exhausted, even though we were to bring another one like it in addition. Meaning none is able to describe and praise Allah for who Allah is. Then Allah says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. Surely I am but a human being like you. Asking Rasulullah to say to the people, surely I am but a human being like you. It is revealed to me that your God is one God. It is revealed to me, ilahukum, ilahu wahid, your ilah, the one worthy of worship is only Allah. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ. So the one who hopes to meet his Allah, فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا, let him do righteous deeds. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا, and must not associate anyone in the worship of his Lord. Now the cause of the revelation of the last verses of Surah Kahf, especially from وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا, and must not associate anyone in worship of his Lord, as has been mentioned in the Ahadith reports, shows that shirk at this place means hidden shirk, which is nifaq, which is hypocrisy, it is riyah, to do things for the show of people. And this is the shirk that is mentioned in this ayah, or referred to in this ayah. And this is understood from the reasons for the revelation of this ayah. One such narration from Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu has been reported by Imam Hakim in his Mustadrak as being sound on the criteria set forth by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim. And according to this narration, one of the Muslims used to carry out jihad in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala side by side. He wished that his soldiering and his bravery in the cause of Allah be recognized and appreciated by people. This verse was revealed about him, which tells us that the one gets no thawab, no reward, by having such an intention in jihad. So, and also in Kitab al-Ikhlas, Ibn Abi Hatim have reported from Tawus that a Sahabi stated before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the Sahabi said to Rasulullah that there are occasions when I am ready to worship or to do some righteous deeds. My aim thereby is nothing but the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, along with it, I do have sometimes the wish that people see me doing it. Hearing this, he observed silence until this verse was revealed. And in Abu Nu'aym, in the history of Ibn Asair, it appears on the authority of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that whenever the Sahabi Sayyidina Jundub ibn Zuhair radiallahu ta'ala anhu prayed, fasted, or gave in charity, and then saw people admiring him for doing these deeds, he felt pleased about it, and would then increase the frequency of those deeds. Thereupon, this verse was revealed. Now the gist of narrations given that provide for us the reasons for the revelation of this verse is that the shirk prohibited in this verse is the hidden shirk, the shirk of showing off, the shirk of riya, and that a deed may though be for Allah alone, but along with it, should it become associated with some selfish motive, of name, fame, recognition, then this too will be a kind of hidden shirk, something that makes one's deed go waste, even becomes harmful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. However, there are some other sahih ahadith which apparently seem to indicate otherwise, and there is a need for us to have the right balance and an understanding of this. For example, there is a hadith in Tirmidhi from Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he once submitted before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there are times when I am on my prayer mat, inside my home, making salah, and all of a sudden, there comes someone to my home. I like it that he saw me in that state. Would that be riya? Would that be showing off? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Oh Abu Huraira, may Allah have mercy on you. Then you get two rewards. One for the deed you are already doing in secret, and the other for what you did openly after the coming of that person. This is no riya." Now, there seems to be an apparent contradiction. According to a narration of Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghaffari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, appearing in Sahih Muslim again, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, "What do you say about a person who does some good deed, then hears people praising it?" Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Tilka ajilu bushra al-mu'mineen." This is the instant good news for the believer, that his deed was accepted with Allah and he had his servants praise it. The apparent difference in these two kinds of narrations has been resolved and brought into absolute balance in Tafsir Mazhari, where the author says that the first kind of narrations about the cause of the revelation of the verse apply to a particular situation. In other words, this verse was primarily restricted to a particular special situation. This is when one associates his intention to please people or to earn good name for himself, along with the intention of seeking the pleasure of Allah through his deeds, to the extent that he further increases the frequency of the deed on being praised by people for it. In other words, he has the intention of doing the work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in addition, he also has an intention that he is doing it to show people so that he may be praised for it. This is no doubt hypocrisy, it is riya, it is hidden shirk. And the latter narrations, those from Imam Tirmidhi and Muslim, which we have given about Abu Huraira and Abu Dharr Ghaffari, concerns another situation. This is when one has acted for the pleasure of Allah alone. Your deed was primarily for the pleasure of Allah alone. without any inclination of receiving publicity, without any inclination of receiving praise for it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His grace, gives you fame by making people praise you. If so, it has nothing to do with riyah. In fact, this is the spontaneous good news for the believer that his deed has found acceptance with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whilst we are talking about this, it is important that we understand the evil consequences of riyah and the stern warnings in ahadith. Sayyidina Muhammad ibn Labid radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "What I fear most about you is minor shirk." And the Sahaba asked, "Ya Rasulullah, what is minor shirk?" He said, "Riyah, to do something only to show people." After having reported this hadith in Shu'ab al-Iman, Imam Bahqi has also reported the remarks, "On the day of Qiyamah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward His servants for their deeds, He will ask the practitioners of riyah to go for the reward to those they wanted to impress with their deeds and find out whether or not they have any deeds for them." Again, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us sincerity. Sayyidina Abi Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu also reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am free and above from associating with those associated with me. Whoever does a good deed and then associates in it someone else with me, then I leave the entire deed for the one associated. And according to another narration, I withdraw from the deed, making it exclusive for the person associated with me." This has been narrated in Sahih Muslim. Also, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that he heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, "Whoever does a good deed to earn a fair name among people, then Allah ta'ala too deals with him in a manner that he is disgraced before them." It also appears in Tafsir Qurtubi that Hassan Basri was asked about ikhlas. What is the definition of ikhlas? What is the definition of sincerity? How would I understand that the deed is free of show and riya? He said, "Ikhlas requires that your good deeds remain hidden, should be what you like. That you like that your good deeds should be hidden. And your bad deeds remaining hidden should be what you do not like. That what you do not like should also be hidden. After that, if Allah discloses your deeds before people, you should say, 'Ya Allah, all this is your grace and favor, not the outcome of my deed and effort.'" The conclusion of understanding what is riyah, and this is something like a litmus test that one needs to measure himself, that when I do a good deed, do I want this good deed to be hidden from people's eyes? And if it is such, then alhamdulillah. However, if by somehow it becomes public knowledge of your good deed, that is the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when that happens, then one should immediately say, "Oh Allah, this is nothing. Hada bifadlillah. This is the grace and favor of Allah and not the outcome of my deed." Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once mentioned shirk by saying, "Huwa fikum akhfa min dibin namal." It is right there in you, more hidden than the soundless movement of an ant. Subhanallah, how beautifully did Rasulullah describe this. That riyah, showing off, this type of shirk, is right there in you, more hidden than the soundless movement of an ant. Then he added, "I tell you something which if you do, you will remain safe against riyah and all sorts of shirk, all sorts of major or minor showing off." And then Rasul Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Make this dua 3 times every day. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bik wa ana a'lamu wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. Oh Allah, I seek refuge with you, lest I associate a partner with you while I know. And I seek forgiveness from you for what I do not know. Oh Allah, inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bik. O Allah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bik. O Allah, I seek refuge with you, lest I associate a partner with you. Wa ana a'lam, and whilst I know. Wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam, and I also seek forgiveness from you for that which I do not know. This brings us to the end of the translations and the commentaries of Surah Kahf. In conclusion, some merits and properties of Surah Kahf, which we had discussed in the beginning, but it might just be appropriate that we discuss some of them now in the conclusion of our tafsir. Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, whoever remembers to recite the first 10 verses of Surah Kahf will remain safe against the fitna, the upheaval, the trials caused by Dajjal. This is a hadith reported by Muslim, and we've given detailed discussions about what the fitna and the upheaval of and the trials of Dajjal are. It is also mentioned that whoever remembers to recite the last 10 verses of Surah Kahf will remain safe against the fitna of Dajjal. According to a narration of Sayyidina Anas, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever recites the initial and the concluding verses of Surah Kahf will have light for him from his feet up to his head. And whoever recites this surah in full will have light for him from the ground up to the sky. And as narrated by Sayyidina Sa'id radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also said, whoever recites Surah Al-Kahf in full on the day of Jum'ah will have light for him until the next Jum'ah. Also, to Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas, someone asked, and this is the last part that I want to end with, it's such a beautiful amal. Someone asked Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu that if I resolve in my heart to wake up in the latter part of night and make salah, in other words, I want to get up for tahajjud salah, or if I want to get up early in the morning for my prayers, but sleep overtakes me, what shall I do? Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to him, recite the last verses of Surah Kahf from ayah number 109, قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادًا, up to the end before you sleep. Then the time you intend to wake up will be the time when Allah Ta'ala will wake you up. This has been reported by Al-Thalabi. And according to the Musnad of Ad-Darimi, Ibn Husayb told Abda, anyone who sleeps after having recited these last verses will wake up at the time he or she intends to. And Abda says, we have tried this repeatedly. It happens just like that. Whenever we recite this last ayah and have in our mind the time that we wish to wake up, alhamdulillah, Allah wakes us up at that time. An important word of advice, Ibn al-Arabi quotes his sheikh, let not the hours of your dear life pass away confronting contemporaries and socializing with friends. Watch out, Allah Ta'ala has concluded his statement on the following verse, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرُجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Regarding the last ayah, Ibn Arabi quotes his sheikh telling him, let not the hours of your good life pass away confronting contemporaries and socializing with friends. Watch out, Allah Ta'ala has concluded his statement of this beautiful surah with the following verse, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرُجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. The one who hopes to meet Allah on the day of Qiyamah must do righteous deed and must not associate anyone in the worship of his Lord. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله. مولانا, with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we've come to the conclusion of the commentary of Surah Kahf. It was a lengthy discussion we had. We went into much details. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He give us the ability to practice upon whatever He has said, whatever we have said. And if in the course of our commentary, if there was anything that we said that was incorrect, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to oversee and forgive us for our shortcomings. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give me the one that was doing it and all our listeners and the ummah at large the full reward of this, and let it be a means for us being saved from the trials of Dajjal and a means of our salvation in this world and entry into Jannah with the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam without Hisab Kitab insha'Allah.
Ameen, ameen. Mawlana, Jazakallah for your time, much appreciated. Inshallah, we hope to speak to Mawlana next week, Wednesday again. There will be a new topic. Inshallah, we'll keep the listeners informed.
Inshallah. The new topic that we are going to do, just as a brief, Mawlana, due to the times that we are living in, there is a great vacuum in the character of people.
Gee.
And the best place to know what beautiful character represents is the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we are going to discuss, insha'Allah, the shama'il of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and aspects from his seerah of how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interacted with different groups and different communities and different types of people, insha'Allah. How he interacted with his wives, how he interacted with family members, how he interacted with his children, how he interacted with the employers, how he interacted with people who he owed money, how was his business dealings with various people, how did he interact with politicians, with people in positions, people that were lower than him, how Rasulullah interacted with those that committed sins, how Rasulullah interacted with disbelievers. Insha'Allah, through that, if you can put that into practice, inshallah, it will bring about a great change in the ummah. And more importantly, people will also, Muslim and non-Muslim, will know and understand who and what was the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We make dua that Allah gives acceptance to that also, inshallah.
Inshallah. Wow, jazakallah for today's program. Much appreciated. Inshallah, we will speak to Mawlana next week. From myself, Muhammad Baam, and my engineer, brother Ziyad, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi.